Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Text 4, or Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text 8. Sagodohana matram hi sagodohana griheshu grihamedinam adikshate mahabhagas kirti kurvam sadashayam ashramam sagodohana matram hi griheshu grihamedinam adikshate mahabhagas kirti kurvam sadashramam Sagodohana matram hi griheshu grihamedinam avikshate mahabhagas tirti kurvam sadashramam. Please chant. Montages. I forgot to say. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, word for word translation. Saha. He, Shukadev Goswami. Godohana matram. Only for the time of milking the cow. He. Certainly. Griheshu. In the house. Griha medinam. Of the householders. Avekshate. Waits. Mahabhagaha. The most fortunate. Tirthi, pilgrimage. Krivan, transforming. Tat ashramam, the residence. Translation. He, Shukadeva Goswami, is accustomed to stay at the door of a householder only long enough for a cow to be milked. And he does this just to sanctify the residence. Please repeat. He, Shukadeva Goswami, is accustomed to stay at the door of a householder only long enough for a cow to be milked. And he does this just to sanctify the residence. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami met Emperor Parikshit and explained the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was not accustomed to stay at any householder's residence for more than half an hour at the time of milking the cow. And he would just take alms from the fortunate householder. That was to sanctify the residence by his auspicious presence. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is an ideal preacher established in the transcendental position. From his activities, those who are in the renounced order of life and dedicated to the mission of preaching the message of Godhead should learn that they have no business with householders save and except to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Such asking for alms from the householder should be the purpose of sanctifying his home. One who is in the renounced order of life should not be allured by the glamour of the householder's worldly possessions and thus become subservient to worldly men. For one who is in the renounced order of life, this is much more dangerous than drinking poison and committing suicide. Om Gyana Tamandasya Gananjana Shalakoya Chakshu Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances to his lotus feet. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. I feel very privileged to have the association of such nice Vaishnavas. So, Shukadeva Goswami, what an amazing person. And he was so absorbed in transcendence that he didn't even want to come to this world. He stayed in his mother's womb for 12 years because he understood that this world is full of entanglements and unnecessary complications, that he'd rather stay in a tight-packed womb of his mother because he was so absorbed in his meditation. And when he finally left his mother's womb, immediately he just darted straight to the forest, completely oblivious of his parents trying to call him back. And Vyasadeva was actually chasing him, telling, son, please come back. And Shukadeva Goswami just took off. He didn't want to become entangled at all. So in this way, appearing like a crazy person, an avidute, he was just wandering through the land, through the near Hastinapur, just completely absorbed in his in Brahman realization. So it appears in this verse that he'd sometimes stop the homes of householders. Prabhupada nicely explains in this purport that one in the renounced order of life has nothing to beg from anyone for his own sense gratification or his own benefit. Rather, the mood should be that we're going to beg alms from these people for their benefit, because the charity that they give is thus engaged in Krishna service. So the people are benefited in that way, and also the sadhu will enlighten that person in transcendental knowledge to disentangle that person from the attachment of, you know, material comforts from home, wife, children, and sense gratification. It says, Mituni Bhavam Hridaya Grantim, that this sexual attraction for household life between man and female ties a very hard knot in the heart that binds one to this material world birth after birth. So we can see that, you know, this is the function of all the sadhus, to actually go out and give transcendental knowledge to the people in general, so they can actually realize that this false hope of chasing this temporary happiness in this material world, everyone's trying to find a situation where they can find permanent happiness. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, when Lord Chaitanya was describing in Srila Rupa Goswami, he describes that the living entity is going up and down in this material universe, going from different species of life, different planets. The whole point of doing this is because the living entity is trying to find a happy situation in this world. And everyone is trying to find permanent happiness. But Krishna himself describes that this world is dukkalayam ashashvatam. This world is full of miseries, and it's temporary. Even if we have some temporary sense gratification, maybe you can enjoy a sense object for a few days or a couple years. Even if you enjoy it for the rest of your life, 100 years, you ultimately have to leave your body and everything's ripped away from you. It's actually a depressing situation. This world's a depressing situation. So a lot of people will think that this philosophy is very kind of like a depressing philosophy, but they don't understand that it's actually the most glorious and ecstatic philosophy, because we're detaching ourselves from the phantasmagoria of this material world to be attached to the supreme reality, to be attached to the source of all beauty, source of all of existence, and it's Sri Radha and Krishna. So we can, by observing the activities of Shukadeva Goswami, gives us a very nice example of someone we can try to follow in the footsteps of to a more or lesser degree. And it's really nice to understand that, you know, Prabhupada was describing yesterday in his Sunday feast lecture, or in the lecture yesterday in the morning, Srimad Bhagavatam class, he describes how, according to time, place, and circumstance, you know, there's so many different traditions, but they're all teaching, you know, one religion, which is the love of God. So according to time, place, and circumstance, a preacher or a son of God or a preacher will come and give those particular people of that time and that place a tradition that they can follow to attain Sanatana Dharma, you know, the ultimate goal of life, pure love of God. And it's really nice to correlate, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam with things that are happening nowadays also. You know, we can see that Shukadeva Goswami was traveling mendicant, taking charity from householders, and giving them spiritual knowledge. So in this way, Prabhupada is so expertly giving us a formula where we can practically plug into that system and follow in the footsteps of Shukadeva Goswami. Prabhupada translated these books, and he made this system where if you distribute the book, you get a charity donation from someone. So that charity donation is given to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, so that person gets benefit, and they also get this transcendental knowledge in the form of a book. So there's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Antalila, that explains how one cannot spread the Sankirtan movement unless directly empowered by Lord Chaitanya. So obviously Prabhupada is directly empowered by the Lord. He's taking these people that were a couple years ago, even a couple months ago, just attached to illicit sex and addicted to all sorts of drugs, and he's turning them into Krishna Bhaktas. These neophyte people that were born in a Malecha family, turning them into people that are completely fanatic about attaining love of God. And not only that, but very soon after that, you know, putting them in a van or sending them off to different states and different countries and basically training them to be Parivrajakacharyas, traveling mendicants, just spreading the holy names in every town and village. He's giving us like a life mission. And we can observe that in our life, everything we do is given to us by Prabhupada. You know, the way we eat, the way we dress, the way we talk, walk around, Hari Bol Prabhu, Hari Krishna. Everything we do is because Prabhupada is giving us this divine culture, Krishna consciousness. So you know, people used to challenge, you know, there's this one purport where someone was challenging, you know, Swamiji, you know, usually the gurus will have some sort of like mystic powers, be able to display some like magical feats. And so, like, where is your mystic power? We don't really see you doing anything wonderful. Prabhupada pointed to his disciples. He said something along the lines that a year ago, these people were addicted to so many illicit activities. And just within a few months, a couple of years, They're becoming qualified brahmanas. Many of them are actually taking sannyas. So we can see that the devotee is the topmost mystic, because he is engaged in the service of the supreme mystic, Yogeshvara. We could see this in the example of Maharaj Ambarish and Durvas Muni. Ambarish Maharaj was just a pure devotee, completely depending on Krishna, and Durvas Muni, being a powerful yogi, had all sorts of mystic powers. But Ambarish Maharaj defeated Durvas Muni because he was just a humble servant of the servant. So, you know, one who is completely sold out to his spiritual master, trying to be 100% completely surrendered, Krishna will use that person, his body, his mind, and words, to accomplish amazing, astonishing results in his preaching activities. In Chaitanya Lila, we see that, you know, Sri Dvaitacharya, he was observing all the fallen souls of this age of Kali. He was seeing all these materialistic people in Bengal. So he came to the conclusion that there was actually no other hope for them unless Krishna directly came down to this world himself to deliver them. So out of great compassion, great eagerness for Lord Krishna to come, he sat on the banks of the Ganges, and he was worshipping Shaligram Shila with Tulsi Manjaris and Ganges water, and he did this continuously. And by the momentum of his spiritual force, his shouts for Lord Krishna to come down actually pierced the coverings of the universe and spread all over Vaikuntha and reached the ears of Krishna. And Krishna loves to reciprocate with his pure devotees. So Krishna agreed to come down. He comes down as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and the most munificent incarnation of this age. We understand that everything is directly and indirectly orchestrated by Krishna. Everything in this world, there's not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of God. So if we use a little analysis, we can see how Krishna is arranging this universal situation to deliver the fallen souls. It seems as though, technology, this is like the technological age, so many gadgets are coming out. And Lord Chaitanya actually appeared 40 years after the first printing press was invented in Europe, in a German fellow. His name is Johannes Gutenberg. He invented this revolutionary machine that was like astonishing at the time. It was, the whole thing was meant to mass produce books very quickly. And that was in 1440. And then in 1486, that's when Lord Chaitanya appeared. And from the invention of the printing press, for hundreds of years, we can see how technology has advanced in such a way that Prabhupada comes at a specific time where the printing press is there, typewriters are already there, dictaphones are made, vehicles and airplanes to travel around the world, audio recordings of televisions and microphones, so many things that are enabling Krishna's pure devotee to spread this movement. So in the previous yugas, the method for self-realization is very difficult in this age, practically impossible. But what I really find interesting is that 5,000 years ago, when Vyasadeva wrote down the Vedas, wrote down the Srimad Bhagavatam, he speaks of events that are going to happen in the future. Of course, he speaks of events happening in the past, which is very astonishing, like Prahlad Maharaj and Gajendra, and so many pastimes that happened thousands, even millions of years ago. But what I find more impressive is that he speaks about the future. For example, like Lord Buddha, he also, in the eighth canto, it explains future manus that are going to happen in millions of years. Like, for example, Bali Maharaj is presently in the planet Sutala. After he got, the benediction of, Vamanadeva, to reside on a planet where he can engage in devotional service but also enjoy material opulence. So right now he's on the planet Sutala. But it explains in the eighth canto that in the next Manu, after this present Manu, Vaivasvata Manu, dies, the next Manu will be Savarni, that's his name. And in the next Manu, Bali Maharaj will leave Sutala and take the post of King Indra in the heavenly planet. So Shastra can foretell what will happen millions and millions of years into the future. It's all in Canto 8, Chapter 13 and 14. So Kali Yuga, it explains that also, in Kali Yuga, Srimad Bhagavatam explains in the 11th canto that Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishna Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagya Sankaranam Prayer Yajanti Husumeda Saha. That is, in this age of Kali, Krishna will actually appear, but his appearance won't be his original color, which is blackish, but it'll come in a golden hue, predicting Lord Chaitanya. And it also predicts that the intelligent people of this age will worship Lord Chaitanya by this Sankirtan Yajna, the easiest yajna of this age. So Kali Yuga will last for 432,000 years, of which 5,000 years have already passed, so it's 427,000 years left. And what's really cool is in the Brahma Vibhartha Purana, there's this pastime where Lord Krishna is having a conversation with Mother Ganges. And in that conversation, Krishna himself is actually predicting and explaining the golden age, this next 10,000 years of Kali Yuga, where Lord Chaitanya's grace period, where everyone could attain pure love of God very easily by Sankirtan Yajna. And the pastime, Krishna is explaining to Mother Ganges that for the first 5,000 years of Kali Yuga, it will be completely sinful. People will be engaging in all sorts of illicit activities, and by bathing in the Ganges, they'll deposit their sins within the Ganges. But 5,000 years into Kali Yuga, the pure devotees will come, and when these pure devotees bathe in the Ganges, those sins that were deposited in the Ganges will be completely burnt away. And these pure devotees, just by the touch of their lotus feet on the earth, the whole planet will become purified, will become a sanctified place of pilgrimage, and they will travel all over the world and chant this mantra, this Hare Krishna mantra. They will actually congregate in big groups and chant this mantra together, and also congregate and explain Srimad Bhagavatam together. And the intelligent people of this age will worship me by this mantra. This is explained by Krishna to Mother Ganges. And he also says, for the next 10,000 years of Kali, devotees of mine will fill the entire planet. So we can see this is actually going on. It's also explaining, for example, like if you go to Mayapur, you could see these devotees from all around the world. I don't know if there's any country where there's no devotees now. I think every country has devotees. There's China, Africa, Mexico, you name it. There's devotees everywhere. So yeah, this conversation is predicting the golden age of Lord Chaitanya. So what's really amazing, in Prabhupada's first meeting with his spiritual master, he pays obeisances to his spiritual... He doesn't know it's his spiritual master yet. He just thinks it's some sadhu. And he's so used to sadhus because he's born and raised in India. So he goes to the sadhu and he pays obeisances out of etiquette. And before Prabhupada can even get up and take his seat, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is instructing him that you're a very intelligent fellow. You should take these teachings of Lord Chaitanya and spread them throughout the English language. And like I said in that class yesterday that Prabhupada's talking about time, place, and circumstance, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, being a ray of Vishnu, a pure devotee of Krishna, understanding that the English language is the most prominent language in the world, that the Western countries are basically ruling the world in the sense that all the other countries are looking up to America and Europe and trying to follow this culture. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, understanding this, is telling Srila Prabhupada to teach in the English language, because if American and Europeans become devotees, then the whole world will try to follow. And English being a prominent language in the world, most countries, a lot of people know English. So by preaching in this language would be the easiest way to spread this movement. In Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami describes how some pilgrimage places are more potent than others. For example, Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha because Lord Krishna personally appears there. But even superior to Mathura is the forest of Vrindavan, because of Krishna's Ras Lila pastimes. And even more superior to this is Govardhan Hill, because it was directly raised by the hand of Krishna and is the site of many pastimes of Krishna and the cowherd boys. But the supreme spiritual place is Radhakund, because this is an expression of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. It's overflowed with nectarian love for Krishna. So in this extremely divine place, there was a meeting. One of the last darshans Prabhupada had with the spiritual master. And out of all the instructions Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur could have given Srila Prabhupada, out of all the things he could have said, the one thing that really stuck out to Prabhupada, the main instruction he gave in that supreme spiritual place in the entire universe, was that if he ever gets money to print books, because also understanding the circumstance of the world, books are the most potent form of preaching that will actually change this world. We could see that our movement's actually a book movement, you know, from Vyasadeva compiling all the Vedas, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, instructing the six Goswamis to write books. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of course, being Trikalagya, which means understanding past, present, and future, understands that, you know, Senapati Bhakta, this general devotee, Srila Prabhupada, will come in a couple hundred years from now, spread this movement to every town and village. And the main foundation of this Hare Krishna movement is actually the writings of six Goswamis, you know. And Srila Prabhupada's commentaries in Srimad Bhagavatam are coming from the writings of the six Goswamis. Of course, we have Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. So, Lord Chaitanya's arranging a situation where he is instructing his most prominent disciples to write these books, because in the future, Srila Prabhupada will come and instruct his disciples to spread them throughout the world. So, taking this instruction very seriously from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada makes this statement that he just follows his guru blindly. Basically, obviously having a philosophical understanding that the guru is a direct representative of Krishna. Anything he says is just as good as God directly speaking to you. We can, with that philosophical understanding, to blindly follow the guru is actually a good thing. You know, because the guru might tell you something to do, and if you are using your mental speculation trying to figure out if it's the best thing, that's probably not the most humble and best situation, best state of mind to be in. But if you've already came to the conclusion, yes, the guru is non-different from Krishna, then just doing whatever the spiritual master says, you'll reap the most benefit, and your preaching activities will be most successful. So in Chaitanya Charitam, or one other thing that I like to meditate on a lot of times, one time, a couple years ago in Mayapur, I was having this dilemma in my mind if, you know, distributing books is the most potent form of spreading the movement. You know, I want to see devotees join, and I want to see this movement spread more and more. So this was going on in my mind, and one time I walked past this poster, and it's a quote Srila Prabhupada's writing to Rameshwar Prabhu in 1976. It says, "Understand that everything we've accomplished in this movement is just because of book distribution. So continue in this way and do not divert your mind from this for a moment." So in Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how out of Vasudeva's dots, eager desire to deliver the souls of this world, Lord Chaitanya, reciprocating with his pure devotee, actually delivered the whole universe. Everyone in the universe at that time, 500 years ago, actually went back to Godhead. This is according to Mandya Lila chapter 15, says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishna doesn't really need us to preach. He could, if he just wanted to, everyone could go back to Godhead. But he's using us as an instrument for us to get the mercy, for us to have an ecstatic life of traveling around and preaching. And also, if we have the pure desire to follow Srila Prabhupada, and obviously Prabhupada's desire is to send the souls back to Godhead, if we actually follow that desire, there's no reason why Krishna won't reciprocate with us. Krishna won't reciprocate with his pure devotees. So, you know, sometimes if we go to like a university, it's very intimidating. You know, you have this huge university where there's hundreds and thousands of dollars of tuition and thousands of kids just completely in Maya. And you have these professors teaching all these sophisticated subjects. And you're this one guy in the middle of all, the midst of all this very intense activity with this book bag trying to stop one person at a time to give him a book. It could be intimidating. You know, you can also, tendency is to think that, man, this is like hopeless. It almost seems like impossible. But we can see in the battle of Kurukshetra how the Pandavas were completely outnumbered and the Kurus had many more warriors than the Pandava side. And in the first few days, it seemed like the Pandavas were actually losing the battle. But because Krishna was on their side, ultimately, you know, the Pandavas, of course, attained victory, and their glories are sung even to this day. So similarly, this whole world is controlled by Maya. You know, the governments, everything is complete. Everything's turned upside down. And here's a few of us trying to be saintly devotees, going out and trying to teach people, you know, the goal of life. It almost seems like a hopeless situation. But this is actually the prediction of Lord Chaitanya, prediction of Srila Prabhupada, that this movement will spread all over and these people will become delivered. So having faith in that, having faith that this is Krishna's pure devotee telling us this, we should just go out anyways despite any obstacles and understand that everything is there for our purification. Like I said, Krishna's orchestrating the entire universe. So Krishna's orchestrating our day. Every day we go out on Sankirtan to give us the highest realization, to give us the mercy. I heard from one really amazing devotee that, you know, the proper way to see this world is to see that everything is going on perfectly and I'm the one with the problem. And that way we can actually attain the most benefit. If we're always trying to point the finger at someone else, saying, this guy was a jerk, this shouldn't be like this, whatever. But understand that, you know, this is Krishna's arrangement. He's giving us this, he's giving me this arrangement for me to get purified. Then we can always go out there with a grateful and humble heart, with enthusiasm. And the reason why I'm speaking on this is because it's November 27th, and in a few days, and December starts, the December marathon. And I just wanted to, you know, inspire myself by reinforcing these statements, and hopefully try to inspire everyone here to at least go out a couple times a week and try to give out Prabhupada's books, the very dear service to Srila Prabhupada. So that's all I want to say for now. If anyone has any comments or questions, I'm willing to try to answer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? No. Jaya, thank you. Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jaya. Hare Krishna, Jaya.